How do you take a decent elementary school and make it great? Find out today from our 2023 Tennessee Principal of the Year, Tina Frances Hodge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Miss Tina, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Great start to a new year.
Good. It's probably nice to sit down for a second. I don't imagine you get a lot of sit down and catch your breath.
Well, that's true. It's always busy. We're working on our school improvement plan, so that's a lot of typing and checking, and so it was nice to get up and come over here today.
Yes. Well, good. Well, I appreciate you coming. So let's start with a little bit about yourself. Okay. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how you ended up where you are today. We've got time.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a 100-year story. My name is Tina Frances. I'm a Cookeville native, born and raised here. I have been in the education system in Putnam County for 38 years. I started at Parkview and then became...
The old Parkview.
At the
you
old
have to
Parkview.
Specify those things now.
I know. I'm so proud for them. They got a new building. But I taught 17 years as a teacher at Parkview, and then I went to Avery Trace as a librarian. Did that for about 6 years. Became assistant principal there. Spent a year at Allgood as assistant principal. Then went to Jerry Whitson. And I have two homes now. Parkview is my original home, but Jerry Whitson is where my heart is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very blessed. I was assistant principal there for 5 years, and this is starting my fifth year as lead principal.
And you have made that your home.
It is my home.
I feel your vibe in that school.
Oh, thank you.
That's just to me what it feels like. And I was saying off air, I need to get Mel Presley in here, but I don't know. You're one of the more enthusiastic people.
Oh,
that I get
you
to talk
know
to.
Mel.
I do.
And, yeah.
And, but I
don't
said that,
get us together. That you would be in a mess.
Yeah. But I love that. I can see that in the school, in the culture. And that to me is fun, being able to see that when you go in.
What I want most of all, and the feeling that we strive for, is that we're a family. We're the smallest school in Putnam County. We have about 320 this year. They're mostly neighborhood kids, so we have lots and lots of kids who walk to school in the morning with their moms and dads. But having the advantage of being so small, we know their moms, their dads, their cousins, you know, their family history. They know and they trust us. And that is such an honor because it's a difficult time for our population. We are at about 80% Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an uneasy time for that, for our families. But we have earned over time their trust. And so that is such a privilege to be there and to have that relationship with them, with our neighbors.
You know, it's funny because I'm from a small rural school in East Tennessee, and what you just described is very similar. And it's fun to think that you can have that in a city. I mean, we're in a big city now.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether you admit it or not, but you know, a lot of times in a city you can kind of get lost in the big numbers and the strangers, but having that small kind of community feel, I think it's a big deal. It makes a big difference.
I think it is definitely an advantage for our children because we get them in pre-K and we love them all the way through fourth grade. Mm-hmm. Our parents are exceptionally supportive of us. They don't really have the financial ability to donate a lot of money to our school or anything, but they value an education. And so if there's a situation where we have a child that needs a little correction, it's a one and done. They come and their parents take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows my teachers to teach. And that's what we're all there for. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place.
Yeah, that's fun. Well,
we get to have a lot of tech students in our building with our residency programs and then practicums. We have our ESL practicums and then you know, math and sped. We have all. Mm-hmm. So we're blessed to be located so close to the university.
Mm-hmm. And I bet that almost all of your teachers are tech graduates.
I think.
If not all, probably almost all.
I was going to say, we have a staff about 40 teachers. And off the top of my head, I can only think of one who graduated. And she moved mm-hmm. here from up north. Mm-hmm. So,
from out of state.
Yeah. So yeah. We love and value our relationship with tech.
Yeah, it's a very close one, a very positive one, and I feel like we have that with most all the mm-hmm. you know, Putnam County schools. It's a very close working relationship, but that I think is beneficial for everybody.
I think it works for both sides because mm-hmm. we can always use extra hands,
mm-hmm.
and then I think it's good for the university to have a place you can take your students
mm-hmm.
where they. I feel like they get the best example of what teaching could be.
Mm.
So my rule is if you're going to have a student teacher, you have to be one of the best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that it's very difficult to become a better teacher than your mentor teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only place them with our tip-top level 5 teachers. Mm-hmm. And so they're super help. We've had a great relationship and experience with all of our residents, so it's beneficial to both, I think.
Yeah, and then you have that vested interest because if they're very successful, mm-hmm. then you can hire them when they graduate.
I have actually, every year that I've been principal, I have hired one of the student teachers we had. Mm-hmm. That's old school. It's yeah. now residency candidates,
yes.
but yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They know us, they know our ways, and we've already grown to love them, and it's just a blessing. It's a unique situation.
It's a great partnership. So, well, let's back up just a second. So one of the other questions that I always ask everybody, and I did warn you before
beginning, yes.
I want to know who your favorite teacher, so especially since you're from Putnam County, mm-hmm. it may be Putnam County teacher, but growing up, who is your favorite teacher and why?
Okay. It took me a minute, and then I thought, this is easy. I was one of those readers that was a struggling reader. My entire elementary career, I was Blackbird. That was unfortunately what they called the low group, and I began to think that reading was not fun. I wasn't good at it, and, you know, it was just something that to read for pleasure was like, what? I don't understand that concept.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in ninth grade at the old junior high school,
okay.
I had Miss Mary Martin, and she read aloud to our class A Tale of Two Cities.
Okay.
Which is not something you would normally think as, wow,
right,
you know.
Right.
But it brought reading alive in my life. And I realized this is what reading is. It's not a workbook. It's not, mm-hmm. You know, something that I can't enjoy. And so for her to, that turned my life around because I became an avid reader,
mm-hmm.
and then I wanted to share. That's what, you know, prompted me to become a librarian. I wanted to share that love of reading with us, with the students in our school system. So Miss Mary Martin is my favorite teacher, one of my favorite teachers.
Always love to hear that. Do you find yourself doing some of the things that she did? Have you had that ability?
Well, that was in ninth grade. So
yeah,
our teaching,
you hadn't quite got that far.
Our teaching, no, I haven't been promoted to ninth grade yet.
Yeah.
But our teaching methods are different. But just that engaging the student part, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's what made the difference for me. And that's mm-hmm. what makes the difference for all of our students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I had one of my teachers knew that I was always like, I'll read, you know, Guinness Book of World Records or something that was more, you know, it wasn't as much of a story, but she kept giving me books until she found something that, you know, that I liked. And then that kind of got me hooked. My Side of the Mountain, I always loved that book, but then it got me thinking, oh,
there might be other books.
There's probably other books that are written for me, you know.
When I was at Avery Trace, I would have kids go, I just don't like to read. I don't like books. And I was like, well, you just haven't found the right one yet.
Uh-huh.
And it's true. Once you find, and I always, with boys particularly, mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. not all that interested in reading a novel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, reading is reading. I don't care if you're reading the newspaper, if you're reading a comic book, if you're, you know, if you're interested in sports, whatever. As long as, the only way we can get better at anything is by practicing mm-hmm. and practice on what you like. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll still help you be a better reader. And we work really, really hard in elementary school, you know, where we teach the foundations of teaching the kids about reading, about, you know, we teach them all the fundamental skills. But one of the things I think we don't do as well as I wish we did is teach them that reading, you know, reading for fun.
Mm-hmm.
With the curriculum that we're required, you know, to work with now and the push from the state, we spend a lot of time on just learning to read so mm-hmm. that we
on the
can
how-to.
Read to learn.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think in order for a child to become a lifelong reader or learner, they have to learn that it can be fun. And that's what I had the opportunity to do in the library as mm-hmm. librarian.
Mm-hmm.
Media specialist. That's the fancy title.
Yes, the fancy title. Yes. The librarian. And they, the librarians, media specialists, they wear a lot of hats mm-hmm. now too, in addition to the books along the way. So
I had friends who said they loved to tease me that my only job was to scan books. And they would go, oh, is your wrist bothering you today? Beep, beep,
yeah,
beep.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, come do my job.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All right, very good. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back and talk a little more with Miss Tina.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Talking with Miss Tina Francis from Jerry Whitson, principal. So you've had lots of different roles in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get there? Did you set out? I keep waiting for someone to say, when I was in elementary, I said I was going to be a principal. Nobody said that yet. There's always a winding path.
That won't be me either. I don't know. It just... When I entered college at Tech, I was in the business department.
Okay.
And numbers, I love numbers, and I love that, but they don't fulfill me.
Yeah.
And so when I think it was about the second semester, I decided this is not going to be something that I want to spend my life doing. And I'm so grateful that I found my niche because I've had a long career in education, and I look at it every day is that I have a chance to make a difference in a child's life. And that, one, is a tremendous responsibility, but what an awesome opportunity and privilege. And so I started as a teacher, and I really did. About the fifth year I was teaching, I thought about becoming an administrator. I was team leader and all of those things. And the timing just wasn't right. So I'm a person who enjoys change. So I thought, you know, I love my job right now, but what if 20 years down the road, I want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my master's right after my bachelor's degree. And so then I thought, well, I'm going to get library certification in case I someday want to do that. Got that. Almost had a curriculum and curriculum development or something. I have an EDS in curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only a few hours. So what's that, you know? And then I was offered the opportunity to be an assistant principal. So I went back and got a second EDS.
Yes.
Yep. So I've got lots of tech paraphernalia uh-huh. on my wall. But I don't think that I would have had that opportunity if it weren't for the existence of Tennessee Tech in our town.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was growing up, there was never any discussion I was going to go to school. And I knew exactly where I was going to college, you know, never a question. And anytime I had the, like, nudge, I had a close resource that I could turn to. And so I think the combination is what made it possible. Mm-hmm. I think God led me because, I say, teaching is not a job, it's a calling. If it's just a job, they need to go home.
Yeah.
Because it's too hard. Go find another job that pays more. It's there are jobs out there. If you don't love kids and you don't want to make a difference in their lives and you're not committed to doing the hard work that takes, then you're not being your best self, and my kids need the best. So I feel blessed that the teachers, I often say when I interview people to come as and teach there, I'm like, this is not an easy job. This is not a cushy job. This is not something that you're going to lay down when you leave the door. You're going to take home papers. You're going to do that. And because the struggles our kids have, it's extra difficult. But I don't have anyone on my staff that I don't see daily their dedication and love and determination to help our children succeed. And so it's not easy, but it is so worthwhile.
And we try to convey that to our undergraduate, you know, pre-service teachers, that if they love kids and they want to work hard, it's going to be great. I mean, the reward is there versus just going somewhere and working hard. You know, I mean, you may or may not have that intrinsic reward after the fact, but
and
teaching
if
you,
you don't.
Do.
I mean,
then something's missing.
Yeah, that would be. I would not love that because I had a when I turned 60, I thought I'm over half through half my life, you know, and I only have a few more years to touch lives and make a difference, and so it like kind of relit a fire underneath me because I know that. Without education, children will never reach their potential. And for some of them, school is the only safe place they have. School is where they can find a hot meal. They have people who love and support them. Not everybody has a champion at home. You know, I know our families struggle to put food on their table. And so when you're trying to work days and nights to try to put food on your table to keep your family housed and you know, fed, it's just not easy. That we don't always have that much energy to put into everything. And so if we can be that encourager for our kids, then, you know, we have kids who come back all the time and they're here to visit our Jerry Whitson teachers because they want to see them because they love them, but they also want to let them know, hey, look where I am now. And we have at the end of the year, we always have a huge graduation celebration for our kids that are graduating from the high school. And when I came to Jerry Whitson, we started the tradition of we have them come and they bring their caps and their gowns. We line the hallways of Jerry Whitson with the kids and they make signs, congratulations signs, and we play pomp and circumstance and they parade all through the building with the kids screaming and yelling. And we emphasize those high school graduates are started where you are now. And because we have often we have student teachers in there and our other teachers who are getting advanced degrees, anyone who's graduating gets in the line
and walks.
And so yes, and it's been you know, it's very inspirational. There's tears on both sides. You know, teachers are crying, they're so proud, and kids are so moved. You know, and I think that I think they know that even when they're not in our building, and I tell them, when you leave Jerry Whitson, you are still a Jerry Whitson kid. Don't make me come to your next school.
Yes. Yeah, I check on you.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I have been known to make a little visit here and there when we needed an encouraging word.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's probably, with the ones that are walking through, they probably have siblings. Mm-hmm. In your building, too. So I'm sure that makes it extra special.
It is. Our cousins, older cousins and stuff. So it's really special. It's something I look forward to every year.
Yeah, and that's a neat activity to add. And just to show, I mean, it's important to me just to show a goal, you know, to show the excitement of someone who's been in your place and now they've gone on to do other things. So it's kind of fun. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a short break.
Okay.
And let's come back and talk a little bit more about the future of Jerry Whitson.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Welcome back. Talking with Ms. Tina from Jerry Whitson's principal. So we were talking through a lot of different things. So you had mentioned your day as a principal. So what is, for an outsider, for someone who didn't go to Jerry Whitson, what does that look like? What is your day? How does it start? How does it end? And I know, like I said, I know you're not hanging out in the chair all day reading emails and drinking coffee in your office.
With
your feet on the desk.
No, that doesn't ever happen. The first thing, hopefully I get to school and it's a calm morning. And that can vary. But when I get on the announcements, we start school at 5 till 8 officially. Because
okay.
We do our announcements, and then we hit the ground running. But every morning when I get on the announcements, it's "Good morning, Jerry Whitson family." And so that is the culture that we have in our building. And I think, and I've had people tell me this, that they can feel that when they walk in, that it's a warm, welcoming place where and our children feel safe and loved. And that's so important. No 2 days as a principal look the same. You can have a to-do list with like 5 things on it, and before the day is over, you may accomplish none of those, but you've done 15 other things. Mm-hmm. So it's busy. The days fly by, and we're doing curriculum planning, lesson planning with our teachers, visiting classrooms, trying to work on schedules. It's just something different every day. And I like that. You know, I taught in the classroom for 17 years, and not even all of those were in the same grade level. But I thrive on doing different things. And so I really feel fortunate that I get to do this.
Mm-hmm. And it just varies. I know that your duties vary so widely every day that it's always a challenge. There's always a puzzle to work. I mean, it's, you know, figure out solutions. It's kind of nonstop, and you're pretty much where the buck stops. I mean, you know, there's so many decisions that you have to make it, and you got to make it on the spot, and that's it. And you know, you have to move on.
Well, and that's true. My new assistant principal is Jennifer Clark. This is her second year, also a tech graduate. Mm-hmm. And I've told her, I said, at first I thought everything could get done. And then I realized it can't. It's not going to. So you have to prioritize your time and which fire is burning the hottest, and you know, focus your attention on that. But you always have this list of things that when I have a second, I'm going to have to get to this. Mm-hmm. So it keeps me busy, and that keeps me out of trouble, or at least I try. So I do love my job. That is one thing that I just feel grateful to be in this position.
Mm-hmm. What about family engagement events? That was a note that I had. What does that look like at Jerry Whitson?
Well, we just had our back to school night last week. Had a tremendous parents come, you know, we had a big crowd, and but it looks a little different because we always have a translator.
Okay.
And so I had to learn to speak in short sentences so that my translator could translate for me. And my parents, they are very gracious. They get very tickled when I try to speak Spanish. But they appreciate that I try,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
But we do four things every year in the evenings because so many parents work and can't mm-hmm. come during the day. Mm-hmm. We do for our pre-K classes, they do decorate gingerbread houses and have a big celebration at Christmas. And so that's fun. But we really have great response. It's true. If you feed them, they will come. And so we always try to provide a light snack or a light dinner for our families because it's a sacrifice for them to take time out of their busy lives mm-hmm. to come. So mm-hmm. I'm just grateful that we have good attendance and good support from our parents. And our adopters are amazing. They help with those kinds of events mm-hmm. because there are things that we can use school money on, and then there are things that we need that you can't really spend school money on. And so mm-hmm. our adopters are fabulous, and they're all on our website. So,
and you should go
and
check.
And if you would like to become an adopter, we can hook you up.
We would welcome them to come do that. Yeah,
true.
And it is amazing how much support a school needs to really do what you need to be doing.
Right.
Unless you're writing the checks yourself, which sometimes you do. But when, you know, all these programs and so like with the family engagement, for example, I know that the benefit of that is well worth the trouble and the money, you know, to build that relationship with the students and their families.
Well, and we try to have it. We had it like the fourth day of school. Because we want to get our parents in and let them first, for our new families, let them get to see us and know us.
Mm-hmm.
For teachers in their classrooms, every child gets to go and they do a group meeting with their parents. And so they learn what we're going to be teaching this year, what our curriculum looks like, what they can expect from their child coming home from school, you know, mm-hmm. homework and that sort of thing. So it's important that we establish that relationship and expectations early
mm-hmm.
because, you know, our parents are our greatest advocate if we will just enlist them to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started that when I came to Jerry Whitson. Some people have open house. We have back to school night because we want it actually be a fun but informational time for our parents.
Sure, so. Sure. And that makes sense. And those events, I know they're a lot of work from the back end, but I know also that they're very beneficial once you bring them in. You mentioned parental involvement. Do you all have a PTO?
No.
That's active?
We do not have a PTO. Because of our economic status, you know, our parents don't have a lot of money. And so, and they don't speak English. Most of our parents don't. Now, most of our kids do. And if they're 6 months, you know, their conversational mm-hmm. English is, mm-hmm. it help, they get through. Mm-hmm. You know, we all get by. Mm-hmm. But so we don't have a PTO, but our adopters really step up and members of the community really step up and fill that gap for mm-hmm. us. And that is a blessing because mm-hmm. there are, like you said, there are things that we need that there's just not an educational source from that mm-hmm. from our county. Mm-hmm. And we get the same funding as every other school, but when you have schools that raise $10,000 at a PTO event, we don't have that. But I have yet to have a need that we didn't find a way to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a testament to our wonderful community. And mm-hmm. it's not just adopters. It's mm-hmm. just people that I've had the privilege of sharing my passion for my school, and they get behind us and support that. Mm-hmm. So,
and I believe the PEP fund correct? The pet has been a big deal.
Yes, we are. They are very good. Caitlin Stegley is like a miracle worker. I refer to her as the get it done girl, because if I need anything and I don't have a resource for it, 9 times out of 10, Caitlin has those networking that's set up that she can come through for us. They recently put in a food pantry in our school, and we have them throughout the city, but to have one on site where if our families are in crisis and they need food, we have a resource for them there.
Yeah, that's to me, though, those needs that are specific to a school, it's such a big deal, especially with the pet fund and the community sponsors, because, you know, someone I wouldn't know to call you and say, hey, do you need a food pantry? But you know, and the community knows that you understand the specifics, and
such
good support.
I can't say enough nice things about Caitlin, because she works really closely with our liaison, which is Miss Maria at our school. So she often will, like Friday night, she called me and said, hey, I have this opportunity. I thought about your school. And I'm like, yes, thank you. But, you know, that's great, because having that relationship with her, when something comes across her desk, then she does that for other schools as well. So it's she does a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
She's an asset for our county.
Mm-hmm.
She really is.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for Jerry Whitson? Where do you see Jerry Whitson head? Because you've still got some years left. I don't see you
not
going
that
anywhere.
Many now, but I'm still kicking.
Yeah, you talk about all those years' experience, but I know you're not going anywhere.
I hope to be effective and in my position as long as I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get tired, then I want to go, and enjoy my life outside of that. But what's next for us? We've been a reward school. I would love to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are striving. We make really great growth with our kids, but our achievement levels aren't where we want them to be. So we are striving every year, and you know me well enough that I want it done yesterday,
yeah.
But it's a slow build. But every year I see us taking those steps and moving toward that goal. So I see just great things in our future.
Mm-hmm.
I know that our kids are capable of doing, like, they're going to be the world changers.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. And mm-hmm. so we have kids that are in military, in nursing. We even at one point had two former graduates from the tech education department that were former Jerry Whitson kids. And
yes.
So their families are still engaged with us. So I think that promotes them to understand, our kids understand, hey, they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you can do. And they've never had that on the horizon before. So
mm-hmm.
hard work and great success. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and exciting to think about and doing a lot of good things. So I'm
glad
to get some updates. So I appreciate you coming out.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right. Thank you.
All right.